been peering into the future of restaurants. Chains and takeout places are thriving, but many independents are in an existential struggle. Hugely successful Boston-based chef Will Gilson posted a plea on Instagram, "What are your gripes? What do you want?" Thousands of people responded, "We hate QR codes. Why aren't hosts more friendly?" One Michelin-starred chef, David Varley, wrote, "Remember when you just had to have delicious food and people told their friends to check it out?" Well, here's Will Gilson when we talked.
It seems harder to make people happy. People are okay with spending if they feel as though they're going to get a guaranteed experience.
But what does that word experience mean? Does it mean food? Chef Eric Ripert told us, "No gimmicks, just have good food."
When you sit down at a table and you share a meal with someone, suddenly something magical happens. That's the power of eating together.
Today, what does Chef Jason Hamill think? He's an icon of the industry. He opened the ever-popular Lula Cafe in Chicago 25 years ago. He's a James Beard Award finalist, a cookbook author. He has a recent one, the Lula Cafe Cookbook. But he's about to launch a new restaurant, Lulu. Jason, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And talk about the restaurant, because that's where we get the definition of the word experience. You say the intention behind the new restaurant, Lulu, is to challenge the definition of what a restaurant can be, and you've pledged to give people this full-fledged experience. What do you mean?
One of the things that I wanted to do was to provide a community space that had no clear set of definitions, like no clear hours of operation, no clear offerings. And by doing that, what we're doing is creating like a dynamic, directly connecting with people experience. So what we'll be doing is offering different types of things on different nights of the week in a micro, very small, intimate way. And it's also about challenging the economics of the restaurant, doing something that will hopefully provide a better source of sustainable income for my team and allow them to grow as well.
Well, that's important, a sustainable business model. So take one of these at a time. Okay, so you're not going to have the same food every night. Now, some restaurants make their fame on the fact that there is a dish that people love and it's reliable, they can depend on it and they come back for it.
I'm privileged that I have that restaurant.
You
now.
Do have and, that.
You know, yes, we have a restaurant that has classic dishes that people come for available every night of the week. And like, this is one way of allowing me to express something that I haven't been able to express because of the rigor of having done that for so long. And it's also the way for me to give that opportunity to a lot of the young chefs and other people who work with me that want to do their own thing and express their own visions alongside mine. So we're going to be allowing them some freedoms as well.
So you feel you have that classic approach covered with Lula. And I think, you know, food critics and the people who can't get a reservation would agree. I mean, it's going gangbusters. But Lulu, as you said, it's giving your staff a chance to, what can I do differently? But also, what are you surrounding this with? There's a retail component that's very local-based, produce.
Yep, there's a retail component that's local-based, but there's also a programming component that's local-based. There'll be some music. There'll be some readings. We're trying to bring back the original idea of like the salon, the cafe, the meeting place that my restaurant, when it was first started in 1999, it held that space in the neighborhood.
Again, Jason, that's your first restaurant, Lula. Remind people, what do you mean? It's held a space.
And that's like the third place that we speak a lot about in communities, where people gather to involve themselves with other creative lives and creative acts. And that's super important to me. And when you start out in this business, like I did, for the love of connection, and then find yourself 25 years later, like really owning a restaurant that is super busy and you're completely passionate about it, but you've also maybe lost a little bit of the intimacy and the connection you have with the creative community around you. So this is going to give an opportunity for musicians, writers, I hope to even show some like small films and those kinds of things in the space connected with food.
Well, it's not about just the connective tissue that makes a community, but you speak of it in what I've read as investments in partners. I mean, chefs like yourself have always had farm partners where you invest in local food producers. But this is also seems like it's an investment in the arts and the crafts and the food grown around you.
Especially the art that's grown around me, if I can speak of it that way. And this, I'm, you know, originally from the East Coast and I moved to Chicago as a young artist. I never set out to be a chef or a cook. That wasn't the intention. And food became central to my life because it was the way that I found that my community sort of gathered around the work that we were doing. And then it took off for me in a way. And I want to provide that back to this artistic community and allow them a space to find a new audience.
It sounds almost like a think tank for food or a lab. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to leave it undefined in a sense so that people can also bring their own needs and dreams to it. We are really at a precipice with restaurants in terms of them and their viability economically long term. I think people are all trying new things. And even me, who's kind of an old dog in this business, is going to try a new thing.
Yeah. How does that go over with your investors when you go to them and say, I'm just keeping it kind of nebulous for now because, as you said, you want it to kind of evolve and grow. I'm sure there are restaurant owners, chefs listening, thinking, yeah, but how do you get people to come in on something like that?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to diversify a revenue stream in a way that builds community. So this space will also do quite a lot of catering and private parties and those kinds of things, as well as host mm-hmm. these salon events. So it's a way of making that side of the business have like sort of a deeper connective tissue. I've always been the kind of person who builds and then figures out how that's going to work as it's being built, in a sense, because I'm not here because of just the business. I'm here out of a sense of purpose and passion for hospitality. It's just that since the pandemic, I mean, everyone has, as your program has explored, you know, it's a struggle to find the balance of connection between the needs of our industry and the needs of the people coming.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds terrific. Well, interestingly, we started with Boston's Will Gilson, you know, pleading with customers, what do you want? He's just announced a new space. It's going to be called First Street Market, a huge space with indoor farmers markets, places where there might be other local commerce, and restaurants and dining spaces. Now, in your case, we hear the dining connection clearly, but you're also talking about industry luminaries coming, maybe dining events with other chefs and other food people.
Absolutely. So this is our 25th year as a restaurant in Chicago. And to celebrate that, we are starting a speaker series in the new space, Lulu, in order to ask the questions that you all been asking. You know, what is the future of restaurants? How do restaurants support the communities that they're in? What is needed to really lift up the people who are working in restaurants and connect them? What sort of the difficulties that we face in a business where we are in the business of taking care of people? And then what does that look like for the people who are doing that kind of work?
Well, it's interesting because we also spoke with Chef Eric Repair, of course, one of the most successful in terms of stars, you know, accumulated chefs in the country. And he just has the one restaurant, Le Bernardin, in New York. And yet, when you look at what he does, there's the television shows, there's all the other subsets of that. It sounds like you, Jason Hamill, are saying, why not have all of that other stuff, the interaction between people in the industry and the excitement of a podcast or whatever it is, in the dining space?
And sharing food as it happens, absolutely. And that's my vision for it. And everyone is, you know, struggling to figure out what is the way they are going to communicate with, you know, an ever-changing dynamic population of consumers and foodies and all the people who love to dine out. I mean, it's super complicated. We all are trying new things. I think for me, the vision is to make it even smaller, more intimate, deeper, real, all the connections that I've made in my life with food, and really try to make lasting change, you know, as we grow.
That is Chicago star chef Jason Hamill talking about his new restaurant, Lulu, and his new concept about a restaurant. It opens in Chicago soon, June. Jason, best of luck to you.
I appreciate you and your show. Thank you so much.